Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Lamentations, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. This can be found on page 762 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. So, reading from Lamentations, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. How lonely sits the city that was once full of people. How like a widow she's become, she that was great among the nations. She that was a princess among the provinces has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They've become her enemies. Judah's gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young girls grieve. And her lot is bitter. Her foes have become the masters. Her enemies prosper, because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before the foe. From daughter Zion departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like stags that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. This is the word of the Lord.
How many of you remember this commercial? Where's the beef? The irony was obvious to anyone who partook of fast food. There was so little beef in the patty, it was hidden by the bun. This woman obviously was left looking for something of substance that she thought she was promised and found that this did not measure up. Where's the beef? Well, I think, you know, watching Merrill's face as he finished reading the scripture reading for today, which, by the way, is lectionary, he had an uneasy feeling about where the beef was. There are times I think we have that uneasy feeling about faith, even in worship, when things aren't going well for us. When they are going well for us, we're often content to skim the surface of faith. Content with worship, that is just a quiet hour perhaps, makes us feel good. But at times, particularly in difficult times, we recognize a deeper need. In such times, we find it's difficult to find the substance. Our cry becomes that metaphor for faith as we wonder, where's the beef? Where's the substance? Where's the hope? On the other hand, many of us are used to hiding those true feelings in worship. Perhaps I look back to my days as a child. This is not me, by the way. Girls, I probably looked like that, but that was not me. Girls had to wear hats and gloves to come to church. We got dressed up in clothes, which we'd never wore at any other time. We had Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Although it was considered a sign of respect and reverence for God, unfortunately, it was also giving us a sense that we had to put on a pretense for God. We couldn't come the way we were. We had to be shiny and bright in worship. We had to be shiny and bright, and that's how we showed our faith. We may pretend we're fine, so others don't judge our wobbly faith. And maybe deeper, we think we have to pretend so we don't offend God. For this and many other reasons today, many of us are afraid to express our true feelings and our wobbly faith. And I think that what we heard today helps us to engage with what we are missing. So what are we missing? What are we to do when our world is crashing around us? Scripture, including the passages we read today, and the scripture passage we sang this morning, we sang Psalm 137. We don't usually read the last line in worship. If you don't know that psalm, please look at it. It's a devastatingly difficult psalm. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. We sang that. And we heard Lamentations, which comes from Jeremiah the prophet. Scripture includes such passages that offer us a way called lament, a way of bringing our heart cries to God. The Israelites, the prophets, even Jesus, dared to show their true feelings to God. And they weren't afraid to let others know what they were thinking and saying. They dared to pray not just their disappointment, but their anger, as well as their joy and thanksgiving. So today we sit by the waters of Babylon and consider faith in the light of these passages for what we can learn about the balance of lament and praise in our lives and in our worship. Now it must be admitted for Jeremiah and the people of God, things were not always difficult. As a nation, they had prospered through the export of the finest wheat that they could grow, through the export of wine and olive oil. They believed their prosperity was evidence that God was pleased with them, evidence that God would take care of them. They trusted that God was more powerful than the gods of those people around them. They believed that their acts of worship ensured God would keep the temple and the city safe. But then the inconceivable happened. Jerusalem was overcome by invading Babylonians. Buildings were reduced to rubble. Friends, family, loved ones were killed. Everyone who was anyone who remained alive was taken into exile. Those left behind were without leaders, without families, without resources. Survivors were left trying to come to terms with what had happened. Now, at first, they were probably too shocked to think of anything. But little by little, unwanted thoughts flitted through their consciousness. Perhaps the gods of the Babylonians were stronger or more powerful than their God. Perhaps God no longer cared about them. Perhaps God had grown old and tired as they were feeling. Perhaps God didn't exist at all. They were disillusioned, disappointed, and discouraged. Like the Israelites, it is easy for us to trust that God is taking care of us when things are going well. But we live out faith in the midst of lives where bad things happen to good people. So when we lose our security, when our relationships fail, when the doctor's words chill our hearts, when friends let us down, or tragic events turn our world upside down, we may find ourselves alienated in worship, alienated for those people who are so happy and we're not, even resentful of other people who seem to have easier lives. Our song of faith, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, my help comes from God, and we reduce it to the question, where does my help come from? Where does our hope come from? Where's the beef in all of this? When hard times hit, we may no longer feel strong enough or brave enough. It may seem that our prayers bounce off the ceiling and echo around us. And in that time, our familiar lives, the familiar landmarks, no longer are familiar. Our ideas that we held so close no longer satisfy. And we can find ourselves strangers in a strange land without even leaving home. We may find we pray differently and difficult prayers that might sound like challenges. I was once so sure and excited, so enthusiastic, but things haven't turned out the way I had hoped. You can do anything, Lord. Answering this prayer would be nothing for you. Why don't you do it? Sometimes late at night, fear constricts our hearts and makes breathing difficult. And we wonder, is God there? We want to believe, and yet we grow tired, discouraged, and disillusioned. So where is the hope? I believe Jeremiah and the Israelites can help us in such times. They provide us with a model of how to be real and bring our disappointments or laments to God. And in the praying of such raw and difficult thoughts, of being real with God, people of faith like Jeremiah remind us that God is with us still, even amidst devastating circumstances. Rather than suffering in silence, Jeremiah trusts his feelings and disappointments to the God in whom he feels disappointment. He still trusts God to hear, even though he's angry with God. In this way, Jeremiah points us to a truth about God. Rather than being far off when trouble hits, God has not abandoned us or them, but walks with the prophet and the people still, even in, or may I say, especially in difficult times. The truth was, God was continuing to love and cherish, to hear prayers and speak to and reassure God's people. Throughout Scripture, we have a strong tradition of lament for us to learn, but also for us to model others for others who do not know or have words in such times. Jeremiah was not the only one to pray his disappointment or his anger or his despair. Even Jesus used the words of a psalm of lament that he had used in worship over and over. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Throughout Scripture, we have examples of both individuals and whole communities lamenting in prayer. We have examples of congregations and nations that show their faith as they trust God with their sorrow and hurt, with their anger and fear. In a world, in a culture that wants quick fixes, the uncomfortable truth for us to wrestle with today is that God does not always or even often take us out of a situation. Rather, God weeps with us, sorrows with us, so that difficult times are never the last word, although they hurt us. God's word is always the word after that last word. Jeremiah, you see, was right to trust God. We have it recorded. He was right to help others to trust God, and that God was with them. There was no quick fix back in that time. But over time, God led the people back from exile, and Jerusalem was rebuilt. And God continued to fulfill God's promises time and again throughout history, and continues to fulfill God's promises today. Today, as we read this, we're reminded that life of faith is lived in the messiness of life, not despite it. We need not be afraid to voice our lament, for God will not strike us for sharing our feelings honestly. God who walks with us already knows. God who walks with us continues to listen to our prayers, to reach out in blessing in all situations, whether we feel it or not. We do a disservice when we pretend for God in worship, when we pretend we feel or do something we're not doing or feeling. We do a disservice if by our actions we portray that faith is only shown in happiness and God's blessing is only known in plenty. Jesus said to worship in spirit and in truth. Lament and joy are part of the walk of faith. Lament and joy are part of the authentic worship in a sanctuary as individuals and for all of us together. Our hope is found in God, as God continues with us in thick and thin, in doubt and in faith. It is this that we celebrate at the table today, that we celebrate in baptism. It is in these sacraments that the substance of faith is not hidden. We don't have to ask, where's the beef? This is a table where death is turned into life and hope is found among ashes of dreams. Here we remember that Christ became flesh to walk with us and show us that God is with us. He went to the cross and died to show us that. We can trust God who died for us and rose again to listen to our prayers and be with us no matter how raw we are as we share our deepest hurts with God. We open ourselves to God's healing. As we are honest about our lament, we open our hearts to align with God's heart. As we seek to voice our anger to God, we affirm we believe and we need help in our unbelief. The truth is, faith is not an ideal, but a way of living in balance, in doubt and in faith, trusting God. We're not called to be perfect or to believe perfectly, but to trust that God is with us even in our imperfection, and especially in our imperfection, that God is with us in both our lament and our praise. And as an act of faith, we will join together, partaking in a meal that reminds us that we are not alone, no matter how alone we feel. And as we eat it, we take it with us and it becomes part of us to remind us that God is with us. We are not alone. Amen.